Whether we're hard at work, pursuing fun, or spending some much-needed downtime with friends, we all want to be surrounded by people who truly see us and all we have to bring to the table.
At college, feeling seen, heard, and supported by people who value your unique identity and perspectives is key to a fulfilling four-year experience.
So how do you find a school where inclusion is not just a promise, but a practice? I'm Brooke Thames from Bucknell University, and in this episode of College Admissions Insider, we're having an open discussion about diversity, equity, and inclusion on college campuses.
I'm Becca Haupt-Aldridge, also from Bucknell. Today, we'll chat about resources for students from diverse backgrounds, how to get a sense of a school's commitment to equity and inclusion, and the additional steps universities can take to make each student feel welcomed.
Joining us for the conversation is Marcus Scales, Bucknell's Director of Multicultural Student Services. Marcus has more than 10 years of experience working in higher education, and his current role at Bucknell is focused on supporting students from racially underrepresented groups and providing cross-cultural learning opportunities for the entire campus community.
Marcus, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me.
So can we start by hearing more about Multicultural Student Services and the work that you do at Bucknell?
Yes. So Multicultural Student Services here at Bucknell has a two-pronged approach, of course, supporting our students from underrepresented groups and populations in terms of race and ethnicity, and also educating the broader campus community. Some of the ways in which we do that are we have our Civil Rights Alternative Spring Break trip, which of course happens during spring break. And in times past, we went to Alabama, we went to Atlanta, we've gone to different parts of the country that have had a history rooted in the civil rights movement to help our students understand there's a history that informs current events, and to be able to help them understand that social justice movements have a history that connects them to, you know, the work that they may be doing on campus or in their local communities or things that are still happening throughout the country. We also have our team, Together Everyone Achieves More mentoring program, which starts with our Ramp Up pre-orientation program. As we know, Bucknell has a number of pre-orientation programs, Ramp Up being one of them, which we partner a first-year student or transfer student with a sophomore, junior, or senior mentor to help them get adjusted to campus. And then again, we offer a number of different resources throughout the year, retreats, leadership sessions, in which we're continuing to introduce students to various resources on campus, both professionally, academically, and socially as well, to help them, again, with their adjustment to college. We also have the Brawley Fund, which supports students who are doing pre-professional opportunities. So whether it's internships or research or going to and attending or presenting at conferences, helping students find funding or provide students funding through that fund. And it was actually named after Edward McKnight Brawley, who is Bucknell's first Black graduate. And then we also have our Unheard workshop series, in which we partner with an external speaker, bringing them to campus or using some of the intellectual resources that are on our campus, in which talk about and parse out and wrestle with different issues in regards to race and ethnicity as well.
Wow, Marcus, that's a huge lineup of signature programs that happen throughout the year. And in the Multicultural Student Services office as a professional, are you an office of one?
I was when I first came here. But last summer, Multicultural Student Services was able to double its professional staff capacity. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this past academic year, 21-22, was the first year that we have more than one full-time professional staff member in Multicultural Student Services. So my amazing assistant director, Lisandra Suarez Perez, is part of the dynamic duo of Multicultural Student Services at Bucknell.
Very cool. Well, with the amount of programs and opportunities you're putting on for students, I have to imagine it would take a team to put some of those things together. And from your perspective, as someone who's interested in this work, why are belonging, community building, and cross-cultural learning essential to the college experience?
I think it's a part of their, adds to their overall student experience, right? Like, if students see themselves, feel themselves, and they feel like the institution and people that are there either look like them, can understand them, help them thrive at an institution, I think it's helps them have a more dynamic experience at the institution. I think it helps, like, again, students are coming here looking for opportunities to develop professionally, but I think when they get here, they also when they get to college, they may also feel like, for me, I learned a lot more outside of the classroom than I did inside of the classroom. Or I'll say that a lot of my experiences outside of the classroom were very influential and developmental in how I see the world and how I see myself in the world as well. And I think if we create opportunities for students to feel that, believe that, and understand that in a particular way, it helps sustain them in the classroom as well as adds value to the institution. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, when we have alum who had, you know, quality experiences, they'll come back and give their time, energy, and even their financial resources. So I think it's a mutually beneficial experience or exchange when we help students, you know, belong and feel connected to and with the institution, especially when there have been, you know, at different institutions, a history that doesn't necessarily connect students, or, you know, the institution didn't have them in mind when it was founded or created.
Yeah. And you mentioned that your office is particularly invested in creating those opportunities for connection and community right away from a student's first year. And so can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly that mentorship looks like and how that contributes to the first year transition?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as I stated before, Bucknell has a number of different pre-orientation programs in which we, you know, like to get our students on campus before the full rush of everyone being on campus to get them adjusted, introduce them to resources, get them hopefully, you know, a foundational piece to providing community and who would be those people who will be foundational in their experience throughout their time at Bucknell. So we bring students, you know, the Friday before new student orientation. And literally, you know, we do an intro meeting and then immediately we leave campus and we go to an area that has little to no cell phone reception up in State College, near State College. And what that does is it gets students off their phones and kind of just in and engaging with each other in a very, you know, transformative way. At least, you know, that's what we experienced last year and hoping to experience that again this year. We go do some camping. We're in cabins, so it's not, you know, the full camping experience where the stars are the roof. But yeah, just an opportunity to get away from campus and do some relationship building. And also, you know, we know Lewisburg is a small town. Many of the students are coming, are not coming from the local area. So we want an opportunity to introduce them to different resources that are in the area. So State College has resources. We visit Williamsport as well, Sealands Grove throughout that time, introduce them to spaces that may have spices for the foods that they, you know, may be looking to cook or from their cultural experience, maybe where they can get hair care products or just different restaurants that maybe Lewisburg may not offer in this town. So, and then we also do some programming with other pre-orientation programs, Engineering Success Alliance, the International Student Orientation as well, get students familiar with some other students who may be on campus in similar spaces as them. And then we introduce them to different campus resources, different offices under diversity and inclusion. We introduce them to Counseling Center, the TLC as well. So there are a number of different resources we like to get them connected to. And we think, you know, in that intimate setting before the rest of their peers get here, and we want to make sure we get them connected as quickly as possible, even introducing them to different deans and student affairs, as well as on the academic side of the house as well.
And students can also sign up to have a team mentor, right, as part of the team program. And so what do students learn and gain from a relationship like that coming into Bucknell?
Yeah, I think, you know, where to get involved, what to get involved in, various, I mean, spaces, organizations on campus as well. And to get a upperclassman who has some insight on the Bucknell experience that can be, you know, instrumental in how they kind of show up on campus. But I also love the informal mentoring that happens. So it's like, yes, you may have that one-on-one relationship with your particular mentor, but then when we do retreats or we do other programs with just our team people, there's an opportunity to do some relationship building informally with someone who you may have not met before, but there's an opportunity for you to develop those relationships. And it's beautiful to kind of see play out and how relationships build and different things like that. And yeah, so in ways, it's a transformational experience for a lot of these students in finding community with each other when they may not find that elsewhere at the university.
And so, Marcus, you named dozens of different resources that you connect students to. I really see you as somebody who is truly a connector between students and opportunities and resources and support systems. You mentioned pre-orientation programs, different mentoring programs, connecting students to the Counseling and Student Development Center, which We had colleagues from that office on the podcast just recently. Also, the TLC, or the Teaching and Learning Center. You briefly mentioned student organizations. Can you talk a little bit more about what resources and what student organizations exist within the multicultural student services space?
So many of the students who are involved in TEAM are also involved in various student organizations. So while we may not have a particular student organization that is in oversight of multicultural student services, we partner with a number of different student organizations just organically. And, you know, students, you know, find connection with our office and this particular space. So for instance, I serve as one of the advisors for the Black Student Union here on campus, but I also have relationships with LACOS, which is our Latinx student organization, BASA, a Bucknell African Student Association, or SASA, South Asian Student Association. So there are a number of different student orgs that these students are a part of, the mentors are a part of, and they may introduce some of their mentees to, and then their mentees may join these particular organizations and find community there and different things like that. So while we may, you know, support and attend and even, you know, sometimes financially contribute to the success of student events, just an informal relationship and connection in which we, you know, help support these students and student organizations.
At this point, I'd like to take a step back and talk a little bit about the college search process. High schoolers just beginning the hunt for their dream college will likely learn that there are a ton of different types of schools out there. There are public and private, in-state and out-of-state, religiously affiliated schools and secular schools, just to name a few examples that we've talked about on the podcast. But there are also schools that are committed to serving different demographics of students, like historically Black colleges and universities, for example. Marcus, can you help navigate us through that landscape?
Yeah. So I've actually, my first professional experience out of grad school was actually at a historically Black college or university at Morgan State University in Baltimore. Great experience, especially for me, right? You know, coming out of Bloomsburg University, great experience to get back into a city and to just kind of gain a better understanding of the HBCU experience. And as you mentioned, Brooke, there are a number of different institutions, Hispanic serving institutions, which their 25% of their student population, full-time student population, has to be Hispanic in order to get that designation. So again, as students think about the college experience, they need to think about what are they looking for out of their particular experience? What are they trying to prepare for professionally, and also what they want their social experience to be. So again, having a number of friends who went to HBCU, some students that I still keep in touch with who had that experience. Again, they're, you know, foundational in, again, student development, student support. I mean, just a cultural orientation may be different depending on what you're looking for. So again, while, you know, certain institutions may have a certain designation, I think it's also important to dig a little deeper to gain a better understanding of how are they actually supporting their students? How are they preparing their students? And what are their students experiencing? So I think, you know what I mean, as students think about what their experiences are, you know, again, Bucknell being a predominantly white institution, predominantly white institutions, they may not all look the same or operate in the same way. As again, I went to Bloomsburg, which is a state school, predominantly white institution, but in many ways it's different than Bucknell. So as students approach the college search, you know, asking questions and coming on campus, getting a feel for the environment are some things that I would, you know, consider and think about as they approach the process.
And so you spoke to this a little bit, but how would you recommend students kind of go about deciding what institution might be the best fit for them?
Yeah, well, I think college is a very, you know, pivotal point that, you know, for a traditional age college students, 17, I know I started when I was 17 and 17, 18, 19 years old, still trying to figure out, you know, what you want out of the world, still figuring out who you are in the world. So I think having an idea of somewhat what you would like your college, like what you would like out of your college experience, can start you to think about and ask certain questions. Also think about how an institution's resources are situated to assist you professionally and personally, and also how they may have been situated historically, depending on your identity and what that means for your experience at a particular institution and a particular place. I think geography may be something to think about as well, depending on how far you want to go away from home, whether you want a city, rural environment, or something to think about as well. And then also, I think connecting with current students and alumni will give you huge insight into what your lived experience is. So depending on your identity, for me, Black man, I want to connect with the Black Student Union to see, you know, what are the experiences of Black students on campus, and also not only to understand, you know, what my experience could be like or maybe like, but also to start building a sense of community. So I already have I know some people before I get to campus. So it will help, you know, with my transition being a little smoother.
And so I imagine the experience that you're talking about that students will have at, you know, any of these institutions is largely dependent upon the work that the university is doing in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. But before we dig into how students can get a sense of what the institution's DEI priorities are, I think we should take some time to define what each of those words really means. So, Marcus, how do you view each piece of kind of that DEI package?
So I look at diversity as demographics, right? Like, and I look at inclusion as how are we making students feel or people feel welcomed, feel connected. And I look at equity as, you know, taking account into how history has informed our current situation. So, you know, thinking about resources, how have they been delved out historically and how has that put some people in a privileged position and put other people at a marginalized position in society? And as an institution, what are we doing to make up that gap opposed to equality, which gives everyone the, you know, equal resources? But again, if we don't take into account that history, then we might not be fully doing our work in a real comprehensive way. So again, looking at demographics, who's showing up, but also looking at how they're showing up and how are we going to, instead of asking them to assimilate or acculturate, looking at how can we, you know, use their experiences to add to the fabric of the institution and the institution using its resources in an equitable way to meet students where they are, to help them have a quality experience while they're here. So that's how I look at the DEI package, if you will.
I really like that framework of who's showing up and how they're showing up and how they're being supported in showing up. And so when a prospective student, right on the high school side, is starting to try to get a sense of answers to some of those questions, the who, the what, the where, the demographics, where should they be looking to find answers to those things? And what should they be on the lookout for, maybe on the website or when taking a tour of campus?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at demographics over the years, I think would help. Looking at numbers, but, you know, numbers tell a story, but they may not tell the entire story. So I would look for resources that are on campus, physical resources, organizational resources that may be on campus, offices. I would look at demographics of faculty and staff. That may be like, you know, I'm a firm believer that students know who to go to in times of crisis because they know who to go to in relative times of normalcy. So if students may be able to identify some people who may understand their lived experience before they get there, or spaces that may be, you know, that fall under that inclusion umbrella for them, it may be helpful as a starting point for them to look for those spaces and those people. And then, you know, those spaces and those people can help, you know, broaden their perspective and introduce them to other resources as well. I would also look for programs. I think programs and initiatives that students can get involved in that may support their lived experience, but also challenge their lived experience as well, to kind of get a better understanding, like, all right, how can I be prepared to be a global citizen and be introduced to things and people and experiences that I may not have had the opportunity to do so before? So I think there are a number of different resources on campus in which students can get connected. But I think, you know, those are some good places to start. And of course, you know, talking to current students that are here who may be involved in these particular organizations and getting them connected, you know, as they're on the college search process.
And as we come to the end of our time together, we like to zoom out and widen our perspective a bit to talk about universities as a whole. It's no secret that there's more work to be done to ensure that institutions of higher learning are safe and equitable and welcoming to all students of various identities and backgrounds. Marcus, from your vantage point, what do students really need from us, a university?
I think this generation is looking for transparency and accountability in ways that institutions have not provided that in the past. So I think those are a few pieces, being transparent about, you know, how are you utilizing resources? How are you holding yourself accountable as an institution, as well as it's, you know, your staff, your faculty, and all those particular pieces? But I think today's college students, they need, again, what I think all college students have probably always needed, but, you know, institutions may not have always met the bar, the support, you know, helping them navigate and prepare them for the world in a real way. I think any spaces of connection in ways that they may not even know, right? Like, and just to be challenged, get out of their comfort zone. And I think those are some things that come to mind. But I just think a genuine concern for their well-being and development, if students can feel that, I think that'll help sustain them no matter where their college experience is geographically. If students feel supported, they feel that the institution is, you know, preparing them professionally, but also actually cares about them and their well-being and their identity and how they're showing up, I think students would, you know, have a better experience.
Yeah, Marcus, I love all of those points. Transparency, accountability, support, and care. I think all of those are really great things to leave us with thinking about as we close this episode.
You know, as I think about, you know, the work that I do, and I appreciate the reflective questions, and just reminds me of ways that I need to approach my work and also challenge myself, my office, and also the institution to continue to do this work. So thank you for having me.
And thanks to everybody out there listening. If you're a fan of the podcast, please take a moment to rate, subscribe, and share this episode with the high schoolers in your life.
We'll be back with another episode in 2 weeks. In the meantime, send your questions, comments, and episode ideas to podcast@bucknell.edu. We read every note you send.
And finally, you're invited to follow Bucknell on your favorite social media apps. Just look for @BucknellU on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also follow our student-run Instagram account, which is @IamRayBucknell.
Until next time, keep on reaching for your dreams and your dream school.